Hi, and welcome to episode 0 of the Ukulele Rocks podcast with me, Mr. C. On today's inaugural show, we have Record of the Week, Chord of the Week, Piece of the Week, and Show and Tell without the show. Our interview today comes from Mr. Ian Brennan, ukulele teacher working and living in the Birmingham area in the UK. So, let's get going, shall we? Now it's time for Record of the Week, and this week it comes from sunny Wolverhampton by the sea. Jacob is 12 years old and he's going to play All Elephants from the website. Rumour has it that he was a last-minute stand-in for his younger brother Daniel, who got an attack of the nerves. Maybe next week, Daniel. Either way, Jacob makes a great job of this. Job there, Jacob. Well done. Well played. All Elephants is on the website. It's lesson number 5 at www.ukulelerocks.co.uk. So if you fancy going to have a learn of that, go help yourself. See if you can play it as nicely as Jacob did there. Perhaps once when you've got the hang of it and you've learned All Elephants, you could record it on your mobile or your tablet and send it in to me here at www.ukulelerocks.co.uk, and who knows, you might get featured on the next podcast. Okay, so let's move on to this week's Chord of the Week. One of the favourite attributes of this little instrument of ours, for me, is that you don't have to get very complicated for it to sound really special. This first Chord of the Week holds fast to those virtues for me. Our episode 0 Chord of the Week is the simple but beautiful full sounding C major 7. C major 7 is made by simply placing a finger in fret 2 or space number 2 on the A string, and that's it. Gently drop your thumb down through the strings, a thumb drag, and you've got enough chord to swim in. So there you go. This week's Chord of the Week, C major 7. If you've got a favourite chord that you'd like to submit for us all to have a learn or a listen to, however simple or complicated it is, then do get in touch through the website www.ukulelerocks.co.uk. So hopefully that's shown some of you how to play a new chord. Time now for Piece of the Week. This week's Piece of the Week is the Chill Out Walk. The Chill Out Walk is a great little piece involving all four strings being strummed, but the fingers only used on the A string or the first string. To start, you're going to play four open strings strummed downwards with a dragged thumb. Nice and gently. Next, put your first finger on the A string or the first string in space number 1. Play all the strings 4 times. After that, you put your second finger, still on the A string, in the second fret or the second space, and we play that 4 times. Then the third finger in the third space. Then we start walking backwards. You lift your third finger up, back to your second finger, back to your first finger, still in fours, and then finish with one strum. So when we put it all together, it kind of sounds a little like this. Thank you. And if we drop the backing track in, it makes for a nice little round performance.
1, 2, 3, 4.
So there you go, the chill out walk. And remember, as always, if you fancy learning that and recording it, send the recording in to me and it might get featured as Record of the Week. Or if there's a piece that's a favourite of yours, then get in touch and we can go through it for more people to listen and learn about it. Get in touch through www.ukulelerocks.co.uk. So, welcome to a show and tell without the show, because it's a podcast. But this is the part of the show where we're going to discuss ukuleles, or discuss a certain ukulele, and, well, most of the time I think they're going to be mine, and I've got one or two to choose from, as I sit here in Pederick Towers looking up, thinking there's more than one or two on the wall that I could choose, and all of them are fairly, I think they're interesting. They've got a little bit of a story too, but today is my absolute warhorse of a ukulele. It's my Omega Zedro Tenor ukulele. Now, I first bought this ukulele, oh my goodness, so many years ago. A lot of you will know Matt Warnes and Andy Webster will be names known to you either virtually through their goings on the League of Ukulele Gentlemen, or you may have met Matt in his new life at World of Ukes. But once upon a time, Matt, I believe it was Matt's family, ran a music store in Cumbria called Omega Music. And Matt, at one time, designed his own ukuleles and had them made. And the first one was the Zedro. And I thought, this sounds special. And although I'd spoken to Matt once or twice on the phone, I actually went up to Cumbria, because I'm from Cumbria, and visited Matt at Brampton, and went through and bought one. And Matt was, I remember going up on the day, Matt was beautifully patient, and I got one Zedro out, and I'd play that, and there was just something niggling, maybe another one just wasn't to my taste, and that sounds not quite, so I think it's the sixth or seventh one, and I chose, and I have number 17, so maybe you'll have to check if you've got your own Zedro. Perhaps you've got a different model to mine. The Omega Zedro has got a Zebrano, or zebra wood, back and sides, which is stunning, full stop. And even after all these years, it still looks really good, really good. It's got a cedar top on it. I'd love to be very clever and tell you how that affects the sound, but I don't really know. I just like the sound. I also, much to some people's distaste, fitted a pick guard to the upper bout of my tenor. I like it. It gives it a little bit of uniqueness. It's been commented that it kills the sustain, and, well, perhaps it does. But for me, I like it. I bought a sheet of A4 tortoiseshell pickguard plastic material from eBay, and after lots of cardboard cutouts, made it and shaped it and put it on. I like it. It's, you know, it belongs to me. The cedar wood itself, the rest of it, is showing its, well, it's not showing its age. It's got a few battle scars. A bit bashed around. But talking of bashed around, I'm sure I remember back in the day there was a photograph when these were first made of a certain Mr. Webster on a moped with an Omega Zedro ukulele stuffed into a backpack, just him driving around to and from work from his house with it just stuffed into it, basically the neck sticking out and all. I'm sure, you'll have to correct me on that one. Mr. Webster, I'm sure. But this is really nice. I have Aquila Nilgut strings on it. I like Aquila Nilguts. I like the white colour of them because it tends to be easier when I'm teaching young children or teaching older people. It seems to be easier to show where the fingers go, where the fingers locate. I like the tension in them. And I think they go well with the instrument. I have had other strings on it, but I just like the sound of it. It's a very full, bright tone. Very crisp. I had it fitted with a Meisei pickup. I remember at the time these being really quite new on the market as the ukulele was. And it was quite a few pennies, but it was recommended, so I took advice and said, okay, fair enough, let's go. So I had it fitted with the Meisei pickup, which is the clever one with the preamp built on board with a rechargeable battery, so you charge it up and then it lasts for hours and hours. And wow, what a decision. Really, really excellent pickups. Very, very noiseless. There's hardly any noise comes off them. And I've played this in all sorts of circumstances, cranked up, and I've recorded with it. And it's always been a very good instrument for both those reasons. I've got to admit, now it's just having a little bit of a rattle. I've obviously got a touching, vibrating wire on the inside. I've got to admit, I still like it, still gets played everyone, and he's been featuring a lot in all the videos, the tutorial videos I've been doing over on YouTube, on Ukulele Rocks YouTube. You can go and check out the instrument in real life, and it does appear on my own channel once or twice in the recordings that I've been making there as well. Yeah, so, show and tell, the Amiga Zedro. A little earlier this week, I had a Zoom call with my friend and colleague, ukulele teacher, Mr. Ian Brennan. And we had a chat about teaching ukulele, about what we like in our ukuleles, and having a recorder following. Here's what happened. Okay, our first interview on the Ukulele Rocks podcast is my friend and colleague, Mr. Ian Brennan. And it is quite late tonight. Good evening, Mr. Brennan. How are you?
Good evening, Jules. I'm very well, thanks. Yourself?
I'm all right, thank you. Yeah, it's been a long, lovely, hot day over here. Very busy.
It has. It's been good, hasn't it? Now, you called me Mr. Brennan there. Are we on first name terms? Are we on surname terms?
No, I'm just being full of respect, you see. Full of respect, that's what it is.
That's fine.
No, I can call you
Ian. I was Mrs. Brennan by mistake.
No.
It's all good.
I have my Mr. C pseudonym, but I don't mind. You can call me whatever you like, as long as it's not rude. You know what I mean?
That's fine.
So we got you on tonight really just to have a chat about ukulele teaching, about ukulele playing, and about your thoughts and, you know, just what you get out of it, what you put into it, really. That's going to be okay. So starting
off, definitely.
How long have you been involved in ukulele playing? How long have you been playing yourself?
7 years.
Wow.
There you go. It's a very short answer. I've been playing for 7 years, and I've been teaching for about six of those. So I very much dropped in at the deep end. Well, I used to be a full-time regular classroom teacher, and then family came along, which is lovely. But both my wife and I were regular teachers, which meant the kids weren't going to get to see either of us at all. So me being the lesser paid teacher out of the two of us dropped down to be a music teacher, which I don't think is a lesser job at all. So don't get me wrong there. Anyone
listening? Backpedal.
But it's a lot less demanding on my time. So I can drop the kids off to school, I can get in to do my job, I can get home. I find it hugely rewarding, and it's just as challenging as being a regular teacher was, but it was a lot easier on my time in that sense.
So how did you come to the ukulele? What was your first introduction to ukulele?
My first introduction to ukulele was I was a full-time teacher. It's okay. We had a ukulele teacher come in to teach us, and it was Jules. And that's why it's so funny and giggling away. Although
it was,
you weren't
yes.
a ukulele teacher then, it was a guitar.
It was
a six-string version of the ukulele.
We don't talk about those things. That's nearly as bad as saying you're a mandolin player around these parts. We don't talk about those things. Seriously. All right.
Sorry.
And now that you've been playing for a bit of a while, have you got a preferred instrument size that you like to play, or a preferred model of instrument? What are your feelings about that?
I think my preferred size would be tenor. I've got a soprano, concert, and tenor. So I've mixed between the three, but the one I pick up the most and play the most is the tenor. That's my go-to one.
Right. And what sort of model, what are you playing?
Model-wise, it's an Asprey, but I can't tell you any more than that. I think you might know.
I think I might. I think you'll find that's an Asprey Koa. It's a very nice...
serial number now.
I'm not going to go that far. No, it's made out of very nice Koa wood, Mr. Brennan. Yes.
Koa wood, yeah, lovely. Yeah. I love the fact, and you can tell the difference between our ukulele knowledge here. I love the fact that it's got a nice inlay on it, and it looks the part as well as sounding the part. It looks the part.
No, it's very nice. I've got the baritone version of that, of the model that you've got, and it's a very nice instrument. Very sonorous.
Very good.
Very sonorous.
Yes, it projects really well, and it's got a long, like you say, sonorous, a good carry of the sound. I think it's got really good sustain as well. The sound lasts for quite a long time when you play it. And that's, yeah, I really enjoy that about that. Some people get that mixed up with the word sonorous. I don't know why.
I'm sure they do.
Leave it all in.
All right. Well, we're actually going to get you to put your money where your mouth is now, because we have a segment on here called Chord of the Week, where we feature a great sounding chord that might be, you know, more or lesser known than others. Have you got a favourite chord that you could share with us and describe?
I have, although it's not going to be... a chord that will necessarily confuse people or be a really tricky one to play. It's a version of C. And it's, instead of doing your finger on the third fret and the A string, and your C sounding like this,
right,
it's moving that third finger up to the seventh fret on the A string and giving your C this ring.
So that's
giving it a lovely, bright ring to it.
Yeah, that's an extra added third. Yeah.
And that's my favourite little one. Because I tend to find I'm playing a lot in Cs, Fs and Gs in the schools that I go to.
Yeah.
And just adding that across the pupils' monotony of what they're playing brings a lot more... it's a huge, bright sound to the room, and it just pierces through. I love it. It's great.
Very good. Yeah. Good reasoning. Yeah, it's basically you're adding the extra third in, because you've got the open E string, and then at the seventh fret, you're adding another E, so you've got an added E, so added brilliance.
There you go. Okay. I think, is it C add 9 or something like that?
No, not quite. No, you're getting a bit mixed up with your adding there, because C add 9 would be adding a D into it. But maths aside.
Yeah.
So when you're going into these schools and you're taking in, you're going to do ukulele, just describe your role, what you do with ukulele in schools at the moment.
Oh, at the moment,
not a lot. As we record this conversation, we're in the middle of lockdown, of course, and I'm afraid it's very sad. We're not partly to go into schools at the moment.
No, I mean, it was one of the first times I picked up a ukulele in about 8 weeks there to play that. So I've got we don't really play it much in the house, although we've been playing some online videos with the Ukulele Box website. That'd been pretty good to jam in with. Anyway, in schools, so my job is to go into a classroom of 30 pupils. Back in the old days when 30 kids were allowed in the class, go into the class of 30 pupils, and you stand at the front. You're given a flavour of instruments, so ukuleles for this class, steel pans for another class, djembe drums for another one, and you're told teach that. So you then teach that instrument for an hour. Could be half an hour if you've got real time constraints with schools, but you teach that for an hour. And then you go away and you come back again next week and do the same.
So
every pupil has one.
So when you're going into these schools and you're teaching for this short period of time, what do you consider the most important attributes that you want to get of playing the ukulele? Do you want children to actually gain to get from you?
Oh, now this, I might come into trouble for saying this. I don't really care if they learn it. I think realistically, if I see them 30 times in a year, and I get an hour a week with them. At the most, I'm getting is an hour a week. Plus, you've got to get the ukuleles out, get them tuned up, put away all this palaver. The most I can possibly get is 30 hours worth with the kids. And then they're going to be off for some sessions. They're not going to be there. The absolute max is 30 hours. And I can't imagine that every kid in that classroom is going to achieve a decent level of playing in that 30 hours. 30 hours in 1 year of your life, you're not going to become a great musician.
So basing on that then, I mean, I'm not sure you've helped it. I'm not sure. Go on, finish your story.
Yeah, so what my thing is for them to get out of it is a love of music. My job is to stand there and inspire them so that the ones that want to become ukulele players have got that role model and they can drive to it and they can inspire and be inspired and they can jump on board and they can learn more ukuleles. But the other kids that maybe ukuleles aren't for them, they can still get enjoyment out of music. They can still really feel something. They can all get something out of those 30 sessions.
Right. Okay. So you see, I think in the past, school music teaching, especially school instrumental music teaching, has got a bit of a bad reputation, you know, with the, lots of later life recorder flashbacks, you know, to lessons,
yes.
You know, playing along with not very inspiring sort of tutor books, perhaps. Back in the day, there's a lot of more available now. How do you try and avoid this sort of tediousness in your lessons? And
I hate that stuff, I make it a bit more
interesting for the children that you're working with.
Yeah, that was one thing I always used to hate about recorders, and still do when you get given a recorder book and it's just, we're going to play B for 3 weeks. No. So for me, it's...
We're going to get letters off recorder players, you know this, don't you?
Tell you what, if you've got a recorder fan base, just change the podcast. It's now the Mr. No, C's recorder podcast.
I don't think so. No.
The way I do it is I got quite a sharp progression arc, and we do a lesson or two lessons on a thing at the most, and then we go on to the next thing. And as soon as I can, I'm getting into the more exciting music. And then those that are able to do it, I can keep up and they can do it. Those that are less interested in playing get interested because the music is a higher quality. It's pop songs, it's things they can sing along to. And those that are less able, it's mean to say, I guess, they're always going to struggle in a whole class environment. It's not the best way to teach.
I think that's a fair comment.
Yeah, and I think if you wait until every single person has caught up perfectly, in the small time frame we've got, you're never going to get anywhere. So my key is drive as fast as you can, and I help the people that are struggling out in my lessons, but it's always new material. We're doing a new song this week. Let's add it to our repertoire, and by the end of the year, we've done 50 songs.
You see, I quite agree with you. I mean, this is why a lot of early lessons on the website on ukulelerocks.co.uk, they're all very short pieces. You know, you can learn them in a lesson, you can learn two or three in a lesson, get them done, get them over. They've got a nice backing track. They tend to enhance what the easier pieces sound like. And you know, like you said, you can move on.
Yep. I mean, we start off with, we do Ukulele Rocks, and we start with the 1, 2, 3, short Elephants Can Grumble, but then we'll miss out a couple. Because if we did every single one of them, there's just too many resources there to use. So we pick and choose and we go, okay, we'll do the first 3 or 4 and then we'll skip one and then we'll do a few more just to keep pushing and pushing and pushing. And then by the end of the year, we'd have done at least one performance to as many parents and teachers and stuff we can cram into the hall. And it gives them that big, you know, wow factor.
That's my next question. You've just come on to that beautiful segue. Well done. How much importance do you put on performances? Is playing an instrument all about the performances for you?
No, I'd say it's 50-50. For me personally, if I was able to be in control of it all, I'd say everyone has to do a performance at least twice a year, because it's such a rewarding thing to be part of a big performance when people that you respect, like teachers and parents and families and the other kids, come in and they enjoy and they give you that round of applause. I think that's such an important skill. But then some schools don't let you do it, or they just can't fit you in the timetable, which is really frustrating. So for me, it's kind of 50-50. I love the performances, but at the same time, I want to make sure all the sessions are inspiring the kids enough so that they're not going to miss out if they don't get to that performance.
Right. Okay. All right. So within your teaching, we're now on to the dodgy questions now. Okay.
Okay, yeah.
So we'll start with the easy bit first. Tell us one of your most favourite moments in your teaching that's happened to you.
Oh, wow. Two spring to mind. And I'm glad you didn't prepare me for these, because it's great they've come to mind. I've had one pupil come to me after he's left the school, right, and he's bumped into me in the street, because he's in a school that's not too far from my house, and he's walking past my house, and he stops me and he says, "Mr. Brennan, how are you doing?" And I'm looking at this teenager thinking, "Who on earth are you? What are you doing here?" Stop me outside my house, I'm mowing my lawn, I'm putting the bins out, I can't remember what. He says, "Mr. Brennan, how are you doing? I'm so-and-so from such and such a school," I won't say. "You taught me ukulele 5 years ago. I'm still playing now. I'm in the secondary school band. I'm like, oh, what kind of secondary school band has a ukulele section? That's amazing.
Yeah, it's very good.
Oh, that's really nice. It's come up in time. That really, you know, meant the world to me.
That longevity, that longevity to his playing is really good as well.
Exactly
very,
that.
Very hard to get teenagers to keep it going. I mean, you know, you and I teach a lot of very similar age children, and to get them to carry through into their teenage years, quite hard. I've got to admit.
It is. And I live in quite a deprived area here. And some of the families around here struggle a lot. So for him to take that ukulele on board and to stick with it for that long, it's amazing. Absolutely. Awesome. Amazing.
That's brilliant. That's really good. But of course, we like a bit of yin and yang over here, black and white. Mm. So one of your worst or most embarrassing moments teaching, dare you say?
Oh, do you know, I don't think I've got very many embarrassing moments. I'm pretty hardy in really? What embarrasses me.
Really?
Yeah.
Gosh, I think I could rattle five off straight away.
Go on, what are yours? Because
no, not a chance, not a chance. No, no, I don't think so. No, I'm sorry, this is your interview, my friend.
But it's not specifically ukulele, though.
Okay.
Can I tell you another music?
Yeah, right? go for it.
I was leading a whole class music session, and the classroom was pretty badly organised, to say the least. Because some teachers, I'm sorry, teachers, if you're listening out there, some teachers are amazing at organising their classrooms. Some of them, it looks like a jumble sale. With the, you know, antique shop and sort of everything over there. Anyway, I was in this one classroom, and it's one where you can't find a surface to save your life. And they live in the music session, and they were using a Kumba for the music.
They're using so what? I've got
a Kumba? Is it a Kumba? C-O-O-M-B. Have I got the right gadget here? Like a big CD player. I haven't got my tablet.
Oh, a Kumba. Oh, right. Yes, a Kumba.
Is it a Kumba?
Yeah.
Is that one?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. Anyway, they've got this big gadget to play the music on.
Right.
The session's going fine, as it always does. But then halfway through, I went to change the CD, and the whole big unit fell straight off the table because there's nowhere to put it. It's like balancing. It fell off the table and smashed it into pieces. It like literally the side fell off. Think clown car where the door falls off of the wheels.
Oh, no.
It was
and
mad.
Do you know what? They are ridiculously expensive, those things as well.
I know.
But
I had to
do this. You know,
yeah,
oh my
it's crazy.
God.
I apologized to the teacher. I had to speak to the head teacher. I phoned up my boss and said, look, I've done this damage. It's going to cost, I Googled how much it costs for this one. It's going to cost £150 if you want, take out my wages. I had to really grovel for this. Yeah, it was mad. That's the most embarrassing thing
God,
I've had
wow.
of me.
My word. Okay. Well, finally, I just want to say, if somebody was listening to this, and if they, I often get this, if somebody wanted your job, and I often get this, I wish I did your job, I could do your job, and I'm sure people could do my job. But your job, if somebody wanted to start teaching the ukulele, what's the best way to go about it, in your opinion?
I think there's two ways to go about it. Either become a great ukulele player and approach schools, so become an amazing ukulele player, do your research into what schools do and approach them direct, or do what I did and join a music hub. So I work on behalf of a company called SIPS, which, pardon me, stands for Sandwell Inspired Partnership Services, and they're a music hub that supply music teachers to the different schools that require them. And the way that worked is I was coming out of mainstream teaching. I went and joined SIPS, a fantastic team of people, and then they put me into schools and they said, this school needs you for steel pans. You've got to play steel pans there. This one needs you for ukuleles. You've got to play ukuleles. And it was literally that. And within the first week, I'd learned steel pans, djembes, and ukuleles, and ocarinas was the other one. So I was then teaching those in schools.
Ocarinas.
And now 6 years later, I'm a player. The ocarinas have gone, thankfully. Imagine that with the current virus situation.
Oh, my word.
Listen to your mouth, kids.
Yeah, it'd be Milton overdose, wouldn't it? You know, disinfected word, everything. All right, well, listen, thank you ever so much for joining us tonight. And thank you for answering all those questions so honestly and so quickly. Before you go, we have got our 10 quiet queries. Are you ready for our 10 quiet queries? Right.
I don't know. This sounds quite suspicious.
Well, here
it's
we go.
It's your first episode. What is a quiet query?
A quiet
is it
query?
Rude?
No, not at all. Not at all. We don't do rude around here. A quiet query is an either or. I give you two options and you choose one of them. Simple as that. You can elaborate on it if you want to, or you can just leave it as your choice. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Here we go. Number one, chocolate or crisps?
Chocolate.
Squash or Coke?
Squash.
Dog or cat?
Cat.
Facebook or Twitter?
Facebook. I don't have time for Twitter, I'm afraid.
Bath or shower?
Shower.
Passenger or driver?
Driver, I think.
Bus or train?
Train. Can't stand the buses around here.
Dancing class or cookery class?
Oh. is there a neither option?
If you want, it's up to you.
If I had to, cookery class. Otherwise, neither. Thank you very much.
Late night or early morning?
I'm an early morning person.
Okay. Chinese food or Indian food?
Indian food.
Coffee or tea?
Oh, coffee. Coffee.
Okay. And finally, soprano or tenor?
Oh, soprano, I think.
Okay. All right. Fair enough. Yeah. All right. Ian, thank you ever so much for joining us tonight. I really appreciate it. I hope it hasn't been too grueling and too grilling.
No, it's been really fun, actually, Jules. Thank you very much for having me.
All right. Thank you for coming on.
And that brings episode 0 of the Ukulele Rocks podcast to a close. My thanks go out to Jacob from Wolverhampton for his excellent playing earlier on in Piece of the Week. And also to our interviewee, Mr. Ian Brennan. Thank you for his time as well. Keep in touch at ukulelerocks.co.uk. Until the next time, ta-ra!